Andrew has said, the heart of SGP is partnership. It's not a denomination. It's not just a complicated structure. In fact, trust it isn't a complicated structure. It's a working partnership. It's not set up to take over your local church. It's not set up to dictate what should happen in your local church, but to be a mechanism by which we can work together as local evangelical churches in areas, particularly where perhaps we might find it hard on our own, and certainly where we would be strengthened in working together. And one such area is in the area of training. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you see that word and think of training. Maybe you think, oh yeah, that's what our young people need. They need some training, that's what they need. Maybe you think, well, yes, it'd be good to see more people going off to seminaries and so on. You think of training. Maybe you just think of something you go and do once. You've done your training, and when you've done your training, well, that's it. Maybe you think, well, it would be nice to have some more training in our church, but we are so busy with so many other things that, well, it's just a luxury. It's a shared conviction among us as we have work together to set up and to launch this partnership, that training should be high on the agenda in every local church, aiming to equip God's people for works of service. As we ask, who needs training? Well, the Bible says that we all do. Andrew has already mentioned Ephesians 4, and in that same chapter, Paul sets out the pattern of church growth in a local congregation, and it's this: it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It was John Stott who said of what we normally think of as pastors and ministers, that their job is not to monopolize ministry, but to multiply ministry. And that's the pattern that we see here, that it's the responsibility of each congregation to see that members of the congregation are built up to serve, so that the church isn't a consumer group coming together just to receive, but to work together. And we need preparation for that. If we are to be troops, as it were, serving and working and fighting, we need training. And we need to be prepared, Paul says, for every good work. That if we are to work well, if we are to serve well in a way that will lead to growth, it's not going to happen by accident, just by volunteering and signing up. We need, the passage says, to be prepared. And we need to be asking, as churches, how effectively are we preparing for works of service? How effectively, for example, are we preparing Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and house group leaders and musicians and evangelistic teams for service? How effectively are we ensuring that that preparation is ongoing as they handle God's word and have responsibility in different areas? Again, it's not to replace what churches are already doing, but to supplement and complement and invite others to be involved. We believe that we should increasingly be churches that think training as a priority. You can read and maybe have read lots of articles and surveys that have come out recently bemoaning the lack of men going in to full-time paid word ministry as pastor teachers and evangelists and missionaries and so on. That there are a lack of people coming forward and staying the course and working year in and year out in word ministry. So many needs and so many opportunities. In a recent FIEC survey, it's a grouping of 490 odd local evangelical independent churches, the survey undertaken by the training team discovered that 82% of churches didn't have a training strategy, and that 61% planned to do more but didn't quite know what resource they should be using to do it. They are big numbers, and you might think, well, in our church it's not as bad as that, but there's a need, and as we've talked together, we've seen that and identified that. So Well, why is that something that we could be doing and should be doing together? Well, as I've already said, because training is so easily relegated. It so easily slips off the timetable. So easy for it to start but not to be followed through. You advertise an event and you get everyone to go up to London to event, and then they come back and then it's forgotten. It's good that we do it together because there are so many areas that need to be covered. And maybe you might think, well, it'd be hard for us to put a course on in this specialized area because there's only a few who would be interested. But maybe across the churches we put something on and a few from each church comes and it suddenly becomes a way of learning together and serving one another. Again, it's not that we are wanting to do the job at all, but that we can share together, because we can do more together than we could do on our own. So what kind of things are we talking about? Well, we're talking about training aimed at specific roles. Training for pastor teachers, training for small group leaders, Sunday school youth leaders, musicians, pastoral teams, leadership roles, and so the list could go on and on. It might be a small group leaders from a more localized area coming together. The county is a big county, and it might be unrealistic to have all the small group leaders coming together from across the county in an evening. But what if four or five churches got together and their small group leaders came together and someone had prepared well, something that could help them to think well about how they are handling God's word and leading small group study? It could be a larger conference. We are planning to run this year a conference for those involved in Sunday school and youth ministry. And it could be something aimed at them. A full day or a Saturday morning, again, where people come together and learn together. It could be training aimed at specific issues. A course on how to study the Bible. Of course, on personal evangelism, some studies on evangelizing cults or introducing New Testament Greek or a bereavement course, a Bible overview. It could be a school of theology once a month on a Saturday. Lots of ideas, lots of things that, again, as individual churches, we might think, well, that would be nice, but what if together we were able to do it? One other aspect of training that we are certainly excited about and keen to see developed is in the area of developing ministry trainees. And there's a blue display stand at the back there, which Phil Kokin has set up together with his task group, looking at how we could develop a ministry trainee program, what's often known as apprentices, though we are preferring to call them ministry trainees. And I'm going to invite John Percival, who is himself a ministry trainee down at Emmanuel Hastings, to come forward. And I'm, rather than me tell you about it, I thought it would be better that he tells you a bit about it. So ask him a few questions to help us. Well, first of all, John, how long have you been a ministry trainee?
Well, my wife, Sarah, and I moved down to Hastings about 8 months ago now, and we've been working with the church for the last 6 months.
Right. Okay, and what were you doing before you went down to Hastings?
Before, we lived in Cambridge. I worked for a small software company part-time, and we both did the Cornhill training course part-time as well. That's a Bible training course based in London, and we're involved with the student ministry at our church there.
Okay. So, in a nutshell, what is a ministry trainee?
Someone, I guess, who wants to be trained in ministry. The name kind of gives it away, really. But I think it breaks down into three particular areas. Wanting to serve in practical ways in a local church, helping out with admin, things like that. Wanting to be trained, perhaps doing a course, working alongside more experienced ministers, and actually doing some ministry of the word and prayer, and learning how to do it in a hands-on environment.
Okay, so that's a pretty key thing. It's a hands-on a role, rather than going away and just learning about it theoretically. It's hands-on all the way through. Mm. So what specific aspects of hands-on ministry do you get involved in week by week?
Well, the amazing privilege of being in a small church is that I get to be involved in a massive number of things. The youth work, home groups, Bible studies for older folks, school assemblies, occasional preaching and leading, sitting in on the PCC, Christianity Explored, some one-to-one work, visiting the sick. Practical things like making the church computers work nicely, I'm a little bit involved in helping the bookstore keep going, publicity, list could go on.
Excellent. And what do you hope personally to get out of this year? It's a year long.
It's 2 years. We're hoping to be in Hastings.
Okay, and what do you hope to get out of it after that period or in that period?
Well, while we're there, I think I'm particularly wanting to learn about ministry and to learn godliness, to learn wisdom and get some experience at ministry, to learn some skills, and also to test out whether this is something I could do for the rest of my life.
Excellent. And what have you learned so far?
I've learned masses so far. Two things particularly, I think. The first thing is that ministry is quite hard work. It can be quite lonely for church leaders, and that's why a partnership is so exciting, that this is getting going. I think it would be a great encouragement. There are times when it can be very busy in ministry. But the second thing I've learned, and it's been a great encouragement to see what I knew in theory worked out in practice, which is that the Word of God works. It works in encouraging people, in challenging people, in training people, in converting people. It's been marvellous to see that played out.
Excellent. And finally, John, what would you recommend that others think about being ministry trainees and churches having ministry trainings?
Yeah, absolutely. And not just because I'm up here, but I think they're great. It's been a massive learning experience for me. And I think there's so many different options for ministry trainees. Every church is different. Every place has got different opportunities. Some for young people like myself, some for older people. Doesn't matter how big or small the church is. And I've been amazed at how generous churches and friends can be in offering support. And so I think every church should consider having a ministry trainee.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, John, for answering those questions. That gives us a taste of what it means to be a ministry trainee. And maybe as you're hearing that, you're thinking, yeah, we've got ministry trainee and we're so glad. It'd be good to have a few more. Maybe you're thinking, it would be good if our church had a ministry trainee. Maybe you're thinking, it would be nice to have one, but it's so complicated, surely. You've got to know a lot of things, and where's the money going to come from? And lots of questions come to your mind. Well, the whole purpose of having a task group designated to look at a ministry trainee program is for them, in a sense, to do some of that hard work for you. To advertise on behalf of the partnership for those who want to apply, and then to do a bit of vetting so that there are suitable candidates highlighted and recommended to churches. It would still be up to the church whether they took them on, but to help with, well, what does it mean? How does it work in practice? What's the financial commitments? What would a study program look like? How could we work together as churches to provide a study program? And so much of these things, we're not seeking to reinvent the wheel. There are some really good things going on, not least indeed even in this congregation and based here in Bishop Hannington. But it's trying to make that accessible to more people and to share that and to roll that out in other churches and to liaise with colleges and other training institutions so that things can be made available to ministry trainees. So do have a look at that stand, have a word with Phil, who's chairing this session, if you want to know a little bit more. He will be contacting your church anyway as a part of this survey to further this work. And lastly, and just very briefly, again, as I said, the Gospel Partnership isn't about reinventing the wheel, but identifying things that are already happening as well as starting new things and trying to expand them and develop them. And make them more accessible to more people. And one of those things is the Sussex Coast Ministry Training Course. You've heard of the Cornhill Training Course, I'm sure most of you, and of David Chapman's excellent work in that and being instrumental in the development of that work. But maybe you're not so familiar with what's commonly known as Cornhill by the Sea, which is the Sussex, the South Coast Ministry Training Course. It's been running for some years, based in All Souls Eastbourne. It's a one-year course, one day a week, with an expanding curriculum, and it's come under the SGP banner, and it's hoped that that might mean that it would be able to be expanded further in different ways, and again, watch this space for more about that. Also, based in Cookfield is the Sussex Evangelical Ministry Seminars, and they've been running for some years. Ministers, pastor teachers need ongoing training, and we've been glad to work together with others to put on seminars four or five times a year. And again, It's hoped that that might have some connection under the SGP banner. It certainly will be related in some way and be a means in connecting with SGP of developing that work further and expanding it in coming days. So SGP is very much about serving and working together. And this year you can look forward to seeing things beginning. Watch out for that training event this year. Watch out for area-based training days or courses for lay ministries. Watch out for more about the ministry trainee program and so much more. It is exciting to think what God may choose to do through the Sussex Gospel Partnership for the growth of his church in the truth of the gospel and the spread of the gospel in this county and beyond. And therefore, one thing we certainly need to take away from today is the need to pray. As Psalm 127:1 reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Let's look to God that he would build and strengthen us, that we may be able to work well together to bring glory and honor to his name in this county. Now I'm going to hand over to Eric Harmer, who's going to be speaking about potential in area of church planting.